This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The annual campaign for the United Performing Arts Fund, or UPAF, wrapped up this week. It successfully raised more than $12 million for local performing arts groups. In addition to the financial support it provides, the UPAF campaign connects people who have performed here over the years.
This year, acting couple Michael Tucker and Jill Eikenberry were UPAF's special closing week guests. People of a certain age will remember the husband and wife team from the iconic 1980s TV series L.A. Law. But Tucker began his professional career at the Milwaukee Rep, and Eikenberry grew up down the road in Madison. They joined me in the studio this week to explain why supporting UPAF was important to them.
I had a significant experience in my career at the Milwaukee Rep. It was really the first 3 years that I was a professional actor, and I got my feet under me. I really learned how to act on that stage, doing six plays a year, rehearsing one during the day and performing eight times a week, and you start to learn your trade there. So Milwaukee means a great deal to me.
When you were on that stage, is it the stage that's here now, or was it a different one?
Well, the first 2 years I was here were the last 2 years that the Rep was at the Fred Miller Theater up on Oakland, and then I was here for the first year at the Performing Arts Center.
It must have been amazing to be first on that stage.
Yeah. We were first on that stage, and it was a very exciting thing. And then, actually, I've done that again when I went to Arena Stage after Milwaukee, which is where Jill and I met, and they debuted a new stage. The Arena Stage had been there for a long time, but they had a proscenium stage that I was in the debut production of there, too. So I get theater started, and then I leave.
And then you also close theaters, as I recall.
I did. I closed a couple of significant theaters. Yeah.
But we won't talk about that.
Yeah. Never to be heard from again.
That was it. It was your performance did it. And
it did.
They figured we don't need to have any more performances.
I stunk up the place, and nobody ever wanted to go back there again.
As you're talking about learning your trade, getting your chops, there's something about that repertory.
Oh, boy.
You know, working in that kind of thing where you're rehearsing two or three different things, acting in something else at night, where you really have to be on your toes.
You do, but the other thing is sort of the opposite of that. You're doing it so much that you stop worrying. And you just go with your instincts. And I think that's what I learned from working that hard on so many different things at the same time.
You trust yourself.
You just trust yourself because there's no time to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. And so, Jill, was that the same for you? I mean, you weren't here.
Well,
but
I'm here, because I'm married to him, but also because I spent a lot of my youth in Wisconsin, not as much in Milwaukee, but in Madison. And then my mom moved to Green Bay at one point, so I was up there when I came home from college. But Wisconsin is very near and dear to me. And also because I think, this idea of having an alliance that supports all the arts is really an idea whose time has come and is much needed. And when I was a kid, and there was a lot of art in the schools, there were a lot of opportunities. I went to Madison West and we had, wonderful productions, and I got to act, I got to direct, I got to, do the literary paper, all kinds of fun things. And I still have a group of friends that were all involved in the arts then in high school and are still great friends, that kind of thing. And it's been taken out of the schools in so many different instances. And so to have the first theater, is that what it's called, the children's theater here?
Yes, first stage.
Yeah. It's just such a wonderful idea, and to just get the kids interested in theater from the beginning, because then they'll be back and they'll come to the Rep and they'll be people that believe that that's important. So
whether they go on to be professionals or not, it's like generating an audience.
Exactly. So I think it's really important.
And appreciators, of what the arts can do for you and for your community. It's significant. It has to do with civic pride. If you can appreciate an artist's viewpoint, you'll be able to appreciate your viewpoint, and you'll see where your perspective stands in terms of history. And art does a lot for people and for the community.
When you travel and you talk to groups like this, are you surprised by the continued interest in theater given our digital age?
I think it's maybe because of our digital age that people are so, so interested in being in a room with other people to experience something together that touches their heart and, you know, inspires them or whatever, makes them feel something, because our digital age is taking us farther and farther away from each other. You know, it used to be the church would bring you together, and that, you know, the churches are not having as much luck with that anymore. But I think the theater is a place where there's a community to experience something at the same time with other people. I think it's more needed now than ever.
Yeah. I think it's more appreciated. It used to be the only way you could see, you know, a theatrical event. And that was the way. So then movies came in, then television, now the computers, and everything is further and further away from you. We did a play a year and a half ago, a play of Wallace Shawn's.
Oh, and wonderful playwright.
Amazing, yeah. Amazing.
In New York, it was called Evening at the Talk House. It's a great play. It's a
and
terrific
my,
play.
My cousin came up from Baltimore. And she saw that we were in a play, so she brought her friend along. And her friend said, what was his name, Matthew, his famous
yeah, Sarah
actor.
Sarah Jessica Parker's husband, yeah. Matthew.
Oh, Broderick.
Matthew Broderick, thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
And Matthew was in it, and she said, she kept saying, you mean I'll be able to see him, like, live? Like, right?
I
said,
yeah. I could reach out and touch him?
I mean, he'll be live. He may not be awake, but he will be live. And that's it. You know, the thing that happens on that stage that night will never happen again in the same way. That's it. That's exciting for people.
Mike has, in his dotage, become a playwright. He's written a couple of plays. We did one of them at the Eugene O'Neill Playwrights Conference up in Waterford, Connecticut last summer, and it was a huge success, and we're about to start a rehearsal for a production of it in at a little theater in New Jersey called the New Jersey Repertory Company in Long Branch, hoping to take it to New York. It's called Fern Hill. It's a wonderful play. So we got both feet in the theater right now.
Well, it's interesting because, of course, most people know you from television, and that's a whole different style of acting, and that's a whole different way of producing things because it's not live anymore. It used to be, but it's just really interesting to talk to you and find out you've come back.
Yeah.
Well, we love to work in the theater. But, you know, acting is acting. Even though the mediums are very, very different. But to do it in a theater, to get to do the whole play every night, that's the big difference. So you start at the beginning, you end at the end. You're not shooting things in little pieces.
And you have an audience that's part of it. They're as much a part of the play as the people on stage. You know, everybody's involved. So every night it's different. And, you know, television can get kind of repetitive after a while, after 8 years on a series.
Yeah.
You know, there are not a lot of surprises. And so this
nothing
is
new to find out about your character.
Well, not so much the character, but the process. The process is deadening. Mm-hmm. You know, I know exactly how long I'm going to have to wait, you know, before I actually get to do any acting. And then just when you're ready and you're all set and you're prepared to start, this light needs to be refocused. Okay, now we're going to wait for that. And, let me just touch up your makeup a little bit because you perspired. Okay, and then we wait. And then, boom, it's time. You do it very quickly. Maybe you get a second take and it's on to the next, which is all that waiting again. And finally, that's deadening.
And what happens in the theater is that, you know, once you start, it's cumulative. You know, the nerves go, and there you are, and who knows what's going to happen, and if you've done your work, and the other actors are who they are going to be in this production, it's just like, wow, I wonder what's going to happen, and the audience feels that too. It's like, you know, this is not like reality television where you know it really isn't reality and it's all kind of controlled.
Yeah.
You know, this is even though there's a script, there's this sense that we're here tonight and what's going to happen.
And so we did my play at the O'Neill, which is staged reading, had a wonderful cast up there. Now, out of the six characters, four of them will be different actors playing it. It's going to be a whole new play. You know, what we did up there is not important anymore. Now it's going to be new.
I'll still be exciting. In it, though.
Okay, you haven't left.
I think we have to go back to where you said I was in my dotage.
I'm sorry. Do you find now that you've gotten into playwriting that that's affecting how you approach characters when you act?
Well, it's vice versa.
Okay.
The way I approach characters when I act is what I do when I write. So I think it really helps my writing. I write out loud. And Jill is saying, who are you talking to?
Who are you being now?
Who are you being now? And I have the characters talking in their voices, each one having his own very particular voice. And it's so much fun. I've never had more fun in my life.
He wrote, you know, nonfiction for a while, and then he wrote a novel. And in the novel, he started playing all the characters, too. And that's when I think he was edging over towards, you know.
Yes,
was there a reluctance to go to playwriting? Or?
Yeah, I didn't want to get back into show business. I was really fascinated with the publishing world and writing books. And I wrote 4 books, and it was great fun. And I started a 5th book, which would be my second novel, and I wanted to try to write it in the first person, and that was a lot of fun. And he talked about his wife, and he had certain problems with his wife, and I thought, well, she should have a say here. And I started writing something for her, and I said, oh, this is a play. And it became a play, and that was my first play.
And I feel really lucky because at my age, the good parts are few and far between, and now I have a husband who's writing me great parts. The part he wrote for me in this play is one of the best I've ever had.
So
how about that?
Juicy and wonderful
timing?
And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, really good, really good.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Yeah. I hope that if it does well, you know, knock on wood, in New York, let's see if we can
bring it to Milwaukee.
Bring it
Rep.
To Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Well, that would be great. Yeah. Where do I sign?
Okay. Well, we'll talk to Mark Clements. We'll get that all set. But no, I just thought that would be wonderful, and then I could actually come and interview you. And, you know.
Yeah.
Come and see it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that I know UPAF supports in a lot of the littler theaters, but also with Milwaukee Rep too, we have a lot of really good Wisconsin playwrights, women playwrights. There's a lot of focus on that at Renaissance Theater Works, and also, you know, new work at the Rep as well, and a lot of the other theaters. And so that's part of the whole package.
It's so exciting.
It's really important for a theater to be able to support writers, because without the writers, what do you have, you know?
Yeah.
You have mime theater.
Yeah. Mime theater. Or you have stuff that's been around for 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. Which is all great.
Also okay.
Yeah, but if it's just that, then it's...
Then it's a museum.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing about the performing arts, is that it can't be that. You can you want it to look back and acknowledge its history, but you also have to be pushing forward all the time. Yeah.
This play is very, very right on in terms of the man-woman stuff. It's just, I think it's a really important play, but it deals with people that are over 60. So it's a different take on it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's long-term marriage and equity in long-term marriage, which is something that doesn't get talked about very often. So.
No, the only one we have is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf as a long-term marriage. And that's not the one everyone really wants
to think of themselves.
To think of is that, oh, is that my marriage?
Right.
It's like, wow. Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful, because that is, you know, we talk about demographics.
Yeah.
Older people
come to the theater,
and you don't see yourself.
Yeah.
We were
hearing last night that Milwaukee Rep has their average age is 51, I think they said, and which is lower than the national average, which is 57. And so they are, you know, have pride in the fact that they're attracting younger audiences. But it's a challenge, because people over 60 have more time.
Yeah. Well, and also there's interesting stories there, and it's important for younger people to see those stories.
Right.
Well, I found that with my play when we were at the O'Neill. There's also the national something or other, you know, where students come and work there. It's called the National something or other. And so there are a lot of young people up there. And I thought they actually got more into my play than anybody
else.
They
loved it. But
it's about relationship.
And a lot of young people feel like relationship is a big mystery, how to do it and how to do it safely and sanely and
successfully.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, don't we all? I mean, sometimes that that doesn't change as you go. Your perspective on it shifts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, Mike has always been interested in writing about that, and I think he's done it most effectively this time in Fernhill. I'm excited.
Well, looking forward to it, and let's see if we can get you here.
Okay.
That would be fantastic. Okay. So, how long are you going to be here? Just for tonight? Or
tonight? Yeah. We leave tomorrow. But we have this exciting thing to do tonight at Pottawatomie.
Uh-huh.
There, I got to say it.
You did?
Yeah. And a great thing is going to happen, which I feel very honored about. They're going to have a couple of actors from the Rep do a scene from Waiting for Godot, which I did here at the Milwaukee Rep. Charlie Kimbrough and I play the two characters. And
were you Gogo or Dee Dee?
I was Gogo. He was Dee Dee. Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite play.
Did you tour with it as well?
Yeah. Uh-huh. After we did it at the Rep, we did a tour of all the university extension centers around Wisconsin. And it was a perfect play to do that because there's the lines in the play. Were we not here yesterday? This looks like the place. It's the same as it was. That's where we were, because every one of these university extension centers was designed by the same person. They all looked exactly the same. We didn't know if we were in Wauwatosa or whatever. So, but it was actually a great experience to take it on the road as well. But it was my most important acting experience, that play. It's an amazing play. So they're going to do a scene from it tonight. Which
How fun.
Great. I love that.
And when Mike and I were courting each other, he sort of seduced me with excerpts from Waiting for Godot. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about us? It worked.
It worked. How wonderful.
Either going to be Waiting for Godot or singing By the Light of the Silvery Moon. I wasn't sure which one I'd use.
Which one would work.
Yes. Yes. Well, Godot obviously did.
It did. It worked.
One wonders what Samuel Beckett would have thought of that as a seduction technique.
I don't think he would have liked it.
No. No, he was not really keen on that.
That's too bad, Sam.
Yeah. Well, it is such a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Thank you so much for coming to Milwaukee, for helping wrap up the UPAF campaign this year. And I mean it. If Fern Hill gets here, we are going to talk again.
Okay.
You have a date. That's
all
great.
Right.
Well, so great to meet you. Thanks.
Husband and wife Michael Tucker and Jill Eikenberry are longtime actors who have performed on stage, in movies, and on television. They were in town this week to help close out the annual campaign for the United Performing Arts Fund.